We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth? Truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than from others in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Appreciate you joining me today, and Merry Christmas a week early. You know, it's a festive time of year, but it is also a tough week. It's a tough week, folks. So, I'm going to keep my optimism because my hope is not in the things that are happening here on Earth, but certainly in heaven. And I got my Constitution Coach mug here that says on the backside, duty is ours. Results are God's. Got to keep remembering that. We keep doing our duty. Leave the results up to God. We don't grow weary in well-doing. But we got to wake up to some of the obvious challenges in our culture, not just in America, but around the world. And we got to stop, you know, being asleep at the wheel. It's time to be men of Issachar, understanding the times and knowing what to do. And if we don't wake up to the threat of Islam, and if we don't wake up to the jihad that's happening all over the world right now, in America, we're good people. You know, we've got a Christian founding in this country that we still live off the fumes of today. And there's a desire, just part of our DNA, to want to spread freedom, to not just keep it to ourselves. I mean, why do you think Americans have gone around the world and laid down their lives for other nations to be able to be free over and over and over again? We defeated communism. We defeated Nazism. We defeated despotism. We sacrificed our young men and women to make it to prevent tyranny from taking over other parts of the world. We never asked for anything other than enough land to bury our dead out of a sense of a love of freedom and not just being selfish about only keeping it to ourselves. We could have at so many points in our history become complete isolationist and said, you know, listen, it's hard to get to our country and we can protect our borders fairly easily if we're willing to do so. And so we're going to just, you know, take care of ourselves and nobody else. We could have done that so many times throughout the last 100-150 years. And in some ways, maybe been better off. You know, you could certainly war game that out, and it could have been that the tyrannical movements that were happening would have become so strong that they might have been able to overcome us, even trying to protect our borders. So we made calculated decisions, perhaps in our own interest, but I think also out of this sense of wanting to spread freedom around the world, calculated decisions to enter the fray. in World War I, World War II, and the Cold War. Probably made some missteps along the way in some of the fights that we chose. Not probably, we did. But overall, the effort has been to protect freedom around the world so that we were protected here. That's an America First agenda. But also doing everything we can to help other people become free. However, that has become a misguided, what Ali Beth Stuckey calls toxic empathy, a sense of wanting so bad for others to have what we have or to experience freedom or to not live in pain, that to the point that we literally let our house get burned down as we're trying to save someone else's house. I remember going through a training with some you know, very capable people, let's say. And we were doing a lot of different types of training, everything from firearms to, you know, sort of some mission-oriented rescue-type stuff. And I just remember this. I remember this guy telling me, and it stuck with me. He said, Ricky, you never want to get to the point where you let your own house be burned down as you're trying to save someone else's. You got to protect your own first so that you're in a position to help other people. And of course, we kind of have that innate, what the founders called first law of nature, self-defense mechanism, where we're going to protect our kids first. Like if I'm in a restaurant and I've got my grandkids with me, or, you know, go back 10 years and my kids are in their, you know, early teens or whatever, and the dirtbag comes through the door shooting up the place, my first protection is going to be my family. I'm going to get my kids out and protect them first. You can call that selfish if you want, but that's my duty. That's my first responsibility. If they're not with me and it's a situation where I can engage and try to stop the perpetrator, then I'm going to do that. But if they're with me, I'm going to get them to safety first, and then I might turn around and re-engage, or it might not make sense at that point. Those are kind of the things that we train for in War Game Out. But it's based on, and the principle I'm trying to get across here is, it's based on protecting your own first, and then you kind of expand the circle as you go. Well, America has really misstepped and become, you know, allowed this toxic empathy to allow our own homes to be burned, to invite the wolf into our own house, to basically feed the wolf, clothe the wolf, give the wolf a bed in our own home, in the room of our own children. I mean, that's been the America Last approach of the Biden Auto Pen administration. And more than that, a lot of Republicans have bought into that. And it has created a situation where we are now vulnerable to exactly what happened in Australia over the weekend. They did the exact same thing, even worse than we did. And now even their reaction to that is absurd. Their reaction to that is to disarm their citizens even more, and to silence their citizens even more, and to prevent, now their citizens are not even going to be able to speak out against the evil of Islam and what it's doing to their country. You're going to end up like what's happening in the UK and other European nations, where just for speaking against the evil, you end up having to go to jail. So it's the opposite. It's the biblical nightmare of calling good evil and evil good. And we are vulnerable to this in the US. So let me just speak to Australia for a second. And hear it, if you will, since this is an American audience, hear it as a warning to America. But Australia purposely disarmed her own people at the same time they were inviting in armies of zealots committed to a political ideology founded by a pedophile who had sex with a 9-year-old girl, and they defend it today. Their imams defend this and try to explain it away as somehow this 9-year-old was now an adult. That's who we're talking about here. This is not, again, I said this last week, I think it was. This is not someone that is a sect of their religion that has somehow distorted their religion and living it out in a distorted. No, this is the founder of their religion doing these things. Okay, that's who we're talking about here. This is an ideology that literally says you will either convert or you will submit to us. And you will either convert to us, and if you don't convert, you'll either be killed or you'll pay extra taxes and you'll be a subservient and all of these things, and we might let you live. This is a religion that I got to stop saying it's religion. This is a political ideology that has labeled Israel the small Satan and us the great Satan. We are the great Satan. Israel's the little Satan. We're the great Satan. And these people knew that they could take advantage of Western civilization because they knew that we love freedom and we love freedom of speech and we value it greatly. And so we let you say things and believe things, but we're supposed to stop you at the point of behavior that is poisonous and destructive of our society. It's supposed to be stopped at that point. But instead, we let you in, and Europe now has all of these no-go zones where your behavior is actually enforcing and living out Sharia law and all of the evil that comes with it. And I'll tell you, these people were smart, because they recognized that if they come in saying, we're going to conquer you, we won't let you in. But if they come in saying, oh, we just want to be free too. We want you to have freedom of religion, and we want freedom of religion, and we'll assimilate. They lie to us. They actually have it in their religion that it's okay to lie to us and deceive us in order to get to the point of conquering us. So Australia, you let that happen. America, you're letting it happen. And Australia, you've seen now, but you've seen on full display what happens when you do that. These people told us in their videos they were going to do this, and now here you are with a couple of dirtbags murdering Jews on the beach, specifically targeting a race of people. So this is if you're going to have racial, you know, hate laws and all this nonsense, not just hate speech, but you pass these laws where you increase the penalty if you somehow get into the mind of the person to know that they're doing it because they hate a particular race of people. I mean, that's exactly what this was. And most of the events that happened over the weekend, same thing. The Brown University murders, the murder of the MIT professor. I mean, this is jihad happening on our soil and around the world in Western civilization, targeting specifically Jews or Christians. This is the end game for Islam. So they managed Australia to take advantage of your niceness and your wimpy politicians with their toxic, suicidal empathy. And these narcissistic politicians that just want to feel good, they want to feel like they're being nice and they're the most loving, they fall all over themselves to welcome these jihadis. And then you get them in and they commit jihad, and then these politicians turn around and blame the Jew or blame the Christian or blame the conservative that's saying, I think maybe we shouldn't let these people in our country in the first place. Oh, you're the bad guy for saying that. How dare you say that you should refuse immigration to people who don't actually want to assimilate and to people who want to conquer your nation? How dare you have enough common sense to say, I'm not going to let the wolf inside the door? So now Australia is living with this and now passing, you know, these Islamophobia laws that prevent free speech and prevent us from being able to point out what I'm saying right now. This show would be canceled in Australia for everything that I've said in the first 15 minutes of today's program. And might be canceled on you know, any of these clips that we would turn around and put on Facebook or X. Or, well, thank you, X is not going to cancel us. Thank you, Elon Musk. But now, you know, of course, we saw this with the attacks on our servicemen in Washington, D.C., same thing. So what's my point? What am I getting at? There's got to be a turning point. There's got to be a point at which we say enough is enough. We believe you. We now believe you when you say that your end goal is complete dominance and that anyone who does not convert to your political ideology will be killed or be made to be subservient. We now believe you. And so therefore, we will actually take you at your word and not allow you into our country based on that, and not allow others from your political ideology into our country because of that. Look at what they're doing to us in Minnesota. They are literally taking our money to build up their communities for this very domination. And they're laughing all the way. Wake up, America. And I'm going to tell you, as an individual, if you're not training right now to defend yourself and your family and your church and your community, this is not some crazy conspiracy thing when I say this. We let in millions of people. There are sleeper cells all over this country. There are individual jihadis just waiting to attack in your neighborhood, to attack your church. Yeah, I'm trying to make it personal to you so that you realize how important it is to get physically trained. You need to be coming to Patriot Academy and doing our constitutional defense course. You need to be coming to Patriot Academy and doing our citizen Congress so that you know how to pass laws in your state or in your community to prevent this kind of stuff from happening in your state and in your community. Folks, you got individual work to do. Don't just listen to me today. Take action on these things. All right, a lot more on this topic. Your phone calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. A vacation with a purpose. That's what we call our tours here at American Family Radio, American Family Association, because we go and we see and we do and we have great fellowship and fun and food, but we also have a purpose in visiting the places we go to, a spiritual purpose, a historical purpose, and that's going to include our tours in 2026. Here are the tours. We're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to George Washington's Mount Vernon. We're going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We're going to Boston, Massachusetts. So if you want information on any of those tours for 2026, the dates, the prices, the itinerary, go to this website, wildmangroup.com, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, group.com, and we hope to see you on one of our 2026 Spiritual Heritage Tours.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Rick Green here, America's Constitution Coach, talking about the Australia massacre over the weekend, last weekend, and then, of course, the, well, it seems like it's every other day. There's something happening around the world where we are clearly shown with the body count, the purpose of Islam's effort to dominate everyone and every country. And it continues. I've said this for years. It's a cancer and it spreads. And once you open the door, it is very difficult to close it. And we have certainly opened the door in the U.S. But before I get back to the United States and the things that we can do, I got to say one other thing about the Australian government and what you've done to what was once a very tough, gritty, amazing people and country. You've Brad Stein, a Christian comedian friend of mine that we do these comedy and constitution events around the country. He used to have this bit he did called the Wussification of America. And the Wussification of Australia was so on display. The fact that these police officers stood around and hid behind cars for, some of them were only there 10 minutes, but some of them there were 20, 25 minutes while these two yahoos, you know, murdered people is an embarrassment. It's reminiscent of Uvalde in my home state here, where these officers, 100 officers with every bit of weaponry they needed, including the ballistic shields and bulletproof vest and everything else, for 70 something minutes stood around while a maniac was murdering children in a school. Very similar here in Australia. Not quite as bad, actually. Embarrassing for Texas. But, you know, these officers, and we're getting all the excuses from the police chief and everybody else. You know, they only had handguns. Well, first of all, your absurd gun laws prevented the citizens from being able to be armed to take down the threat. Secondly, what a great reminder that when you pass laws that prevent law-abiding citizens from having any level of weaponry, you are now putting them at a disadvantage to the dirtbag, to the criminal, to the perpetrator. So if you outlaw, for instance, what they call high-capacity magazines, which is just a normal capacity magazine, if you outlaw that in your state, California, and all these other foolish states, all you're doing is making the law-abiding citizen reload faster than the criminal. So that gives the criminal an advantage whenever they, you know, walk in to do a mass murder event or to rob your store or to murder your children or take over your home, whatever it is, you're giving the criminal advantage because the criminal never pays attention to the gun laws. They're going to have a quote-unquote high-capacity, normal-capacity magazine, or a lot of them. They're going to have the, you know, what you call an assault weapon. They're going to have these weapons ready to wreak havoc. And if you've outlawed the law-abiding citizen that is the sheepdog, that is smart enough to get training for defending their family, that is following Proverbs 27 and being the wise person that foresees danger and taking precaution, then you're putting that person at a disadvantage. Now, I'm fortunately for me, I'm a 1911 guy, so the magazine stuff never affects me. So I'm going to have with my normal carry weapon. I actually carry a 1911 that's a 9mm, so I get 10 rounds instead of 8. But I also have a 45 1911 in which I only have 8 rounds. In either case, I'm going to be at a disadvantage in terms of number of rounds in my magazine if the dirtbag is coming in with a Glock that's, you know, got, you know, 17 rounds or more than 20 rounds in some of these magazines. I'm going to be at a disadvantage in terms of number of rounds. I'm going to be at an advantage in that my 1911 is, I personally think, based on an immense amount of training, much more accurate, and I'm going to be able to take the headshots necessary to stop the threat in that type of situation or in a hostage situation or whatever it might be with much more accuracy, and it's just my weapon of choice. I'm much better with my 1911. And so for me, that capacity thing is not going to be I'm choosing to have less rounds in my weapon than the other guy. But when you outlaw it and you make it impossible for people, all of my boys, let me tell you, they're incredibly good with a Glock, and they prefer to have the additional rounds in their magazines. You're telling them that they cannot be ready to defend their wives, to defend their children, to defend our family or defend our property in the way that they need to be able to stop the threat. In the same way, if you prevent long guns or you prevent, you know, particular types of weaponry, you're putting people at a disadvantage, and the Australia situation was just on full display. Most, you know, apparently nobody on the beach, no citizen, no sheepdogs, had any firearm ability to be able to stop the threat. The two dirtbags, even though the guy on the bridge there was using a bolt action rifle very quickly, and I don't know how accurate he was. I don't know how many rounds he actually shot versus how many people he actually hit, but there was so many opportunities to take him out, to stop the threat, even with a handgun, if these police officers had stormed that bridge, or if even one of them had snuck up on that bridge, or just, you know what, start firing and stop the guy from being able to take out innocent people and turn his fire on you as the police officer. It was a complete embarrassment. So I just say to the Australian government, you've got a problem. You've got a real problem. You have created an environment where the dirtbag has the advantage. The citizens need to be free to train, to equip themselves, to have the firearms necessary to stop something like this, and you'll prevent it from happening in the first place, or you'll be able to stop it quickly. That's what happens when you have sheepdogs everywhere. You're not going to be able to have police officers everywhere, but you can have sheepdogs everywhere if citizens will train and be ready to stop the threat. So I just say, Australia, you got a real problem. You can turn it around. You can go back to the laws of nature and nature's God, and you can actually have a system where people are allowed to fulfill the first law of nature, which is to defend themselves and their families. But you've got a wimpy law enforcement system right now. You're going to have to retrain those people. You're going to have to find a way to, in the same way that Pete Hegseth has changed the narrative with our military, and he's made the sheepdogs want to join the military now, instead of it just being a bunch of DEI hires and people that just want to go in to get their free college education or whatever. You change the marketing so that because the sheepdogs are out there. God puts this into the hearts of certain people to want to defend their country, defend their neighbors, defend their family. Psalms talks about, you know, training my fingers for war, and there are a lot of us out there that have just a natural desire to do that kind of training out of a sense of responsibility to want to stop the threat and a recognition as men of Issachar that the threat is there. It's in our neighborhoods, it's in our communities, and it could pop up at any moment. So you have to always be ready. I can't tell you how much extra time I have to spend in traveling that I hate having to do. How much longer it takes me to check my luggage. My bag is the last bag off at every stop. So multiple times a week, I have to wait an extra 30 minutes on the back end, and I have to get there an extra 45 minutes early on the front end in order to have my weapon with me wherever I go. That is a sacrifice that I willingly make so that I am always prepared and always ready for the threat. And that's not just because I'm in a business where I'm vocally saying right now, I'm making myself, you know, when I talk about these things, I know that I'm making myself a target of Islam and of the left, of the trans furries, and all those people out there that killed Charlie and would love to kill a lot more of us out there. So I recognize that. That's been the case for years. We know that. So that's been part of it. But it's also just because I know when I step into most churches and most venues and places that I go, that most of those people are not trained, and they are not, even the ones that are carrying a weapon, they're not trained to and prepared to use that weapon to stop a threat. So I'm going to spend the extra time, not only in the training back home, but in being able to be prepared in those scenarios. And to those of you, those few states out there that make it very difficult for law-abiding citizens to carry, shame on you. You have blood on your hands. In every one of these mass murder events, you have made it easier for the dirtbag to kill people than for good people to defend themselves and stop the threat. Shame on you. You need to change your laws. And so that's part of my action items that I'm going to be throwing out to you today, is that we need to use these tragedies, unfortunately, to shake people from their slumber and to get winning legislation across the line that will stop this nonsense, that will stop these mass murders, or at least mitigate them. In other words, the more you have sheepdogs in place, and I can give you example after example after example, from Sutherland Springs to White Settlement, Texas, to that Indiana mall where that young kid stopped the threat, over and over and over again. The sheepdogs are the ones that step up and stop the mayhem and stop the mass murder. It's rarely a police officer that's able to descend upon that scenario and get to the mass murderer in time to keep the death count down. If a police officer is the one taking out the threat, then the body count is going to be high, because it takes time. It takes time for them to get there. You know, I've got a friend that's a police officer that stopped a mass murder event in Dallas. An incredible hero, amazing guy, ran, I forget how far he had to run to get to where the perpetrator was. And so after running that massive distance, and this guy is a big dude, I mean, he could squash me with with a couple of fingers. I mean, he's a beast, man. He's an awesome guy. But I mean, even after running as far as he had to run, out of breath, he was able to take the shots that stopped the threat and stopped the murder. But if there had been a sheepdog inside the store where this thing started, or inside the mall where this thing started, then you would have been able to stop this threat, stop the dirtbag, with maybe no loss of life other than the dirtbag, or at least, you know, only one or two. I know that sounds terrible, but wouldn't you rather it only be one or two than be 10, 15, 20? So anyway, this Australia incident is just another reminder of that you need the sheepdog. So here, let me get to my action items. I'm just kind of ranting today. I'm sorry. I get so frustrated to see this stuff happen over and over and over and over again. And I get even more frustrated with these. I always have to stop myself and make sure that I'm using words that I can say on the air and that aren't going to just sound like I'm being rude. But they're useful idiots. They're exactly what Stalin, I mean, he loved these people. He loved the useful idiots in America from the press that would make communism look good. People like Matthew McConaughey that after Uvalde ran to the White House and stood there with useless, you know, sleepy Joe Biden, you know, saying this has got to stop, and gun control being the answer to make it stop. And all that does is invite more of it. So, yeah, I agree. Something has to be done. This has to stop. But the something that has to be done, the only thing that works every single time, is you make it easier for the law-abiding citizen to train, to own the weapon, and to carry the weapon and have it with them wherever they go, so that when the mass murder comes in, because you're not going to get rid of these mass murders, maybe one at a time, and as they show their face and they take their action, and then there's a sheepdog there to stop them. But the only thing that works is arming civilians, training them so that they're not just a good guy with a gun, but they're a trained good guy with a gun, and they're in every school, in every church, in every grocery store, in every department store, everywhere, every restaurant. And if you have sheepdogs everywhere, the more sheepdogs you have and the higher the gun ownership of law-abiding citizens, the less crime happens and the lower the death count whenever the crazy person shows up. So that's number one, is as an individual, you need to get trained. So become a sheepdog yourself and recognize that these kind of things happen in your neighborhood. These kind of things happen at churches just like yours. These kind of things happen at schools just like the school your kid goes to. And so you need to be demanding, not only becoming a sheepdog yourself, demanding that the school board, wherever you live, adopts a policy for their employees to be able to get trained and carry their weapon at school, in every hallway. If you have at least one teacher in every hallway, not necessarily every teacher, because not every teacher is going to be good at this or want to do this, but if in every hallway you have at least one teacher, one school employee, one cafeteria worker or whoever, janitor, whoever, that has gone through some good training like what we do here at Patriot Academy and is equipped and capable of using their firearm to stop the threat, if you do that in every hallway, in every grocery store, if employers will actually increase the pay for the people that are willing to put their life on the line, willing to do the training, and willing to be available for this type of thing, then you'll stop this nonsense. All right, so number one, you get trained. PatriotAcademy.com. Get here. Don't wait. Get here to the Patriot Academy campus and go through our constitutional defense course. We got a 2-day. We got a 4-day. Once you go through the basic class, you can start taking advanced classes and really get equipped at this. But get started. Do not delay. I cannot stress this enough. The jihad is coming. You need to be prepared in your community. So PatriotAcademy.com. We make this training practically free. It's less than half of what you'll pay for anybody else wherever you are, and that's so that you can pay for the travel to get here. You can stay on site at the Patriot Academy campus. Get signed up. PatriotAcademy.com. Sign up for constitutional defense. Second, stop calling Islam a religion and start calling it a political ideology that destroys freedom, because that's what it is. And then third, join the call for significant, serious steps to remove that Islamic threat from our country, to do reverse migration. And then lastly, demand legislation that makes it easier for sheepdogs to get trained, to carry their weapon, and to have their weapon in all of these places that I've mentioned. Demand that your pastors have a policy in your church of not only having a good security team that's trained, get those people here to Patriot Academy as well, but allowing you to carry. Because again, even no matter how good your security team is, they can't be everywhere. And I've watched the videos of lousy security teams that don't do a good job of stopping the threat and good security teams that stop the threat. And you just don't know what you've got at your particular church. So four steps. I'm going to repeat them when we come back from the break. And you can call in and join me if you want in this last segment. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, talking about the tragedies over the weekend in Australia and in America, frankly, all over the world. And four steps I'm recommending. Number one, become a sheepdog yourself. Get your training. Do not put it off. Be ready to defend your family. I'm telling you, I have 11 years old to 91 years old that comes here and trains on a regular basis. And it is awesome to see. 55% of our students are women. And there's nothing more rewarding. Well, there's other things maybe even a little bit more rewarding. But one of the most rewarding things I get to do is watch someone come here for the first day crying out of fear. And the fourth day crying out of joy that they can now defend themselves, that they can walk from the grocery store to the car and not have to be in constant fear. So anyway, make sure you become a sheepdog. Okay, that's you. You have responsibility for defending yourself and your family. Secondly, stop calling Islam a religion and start calling it a political ideology that destroys freedom. Third, call for significant reverse migration in this country. Pause all immigration and let's clean house like we did 100 years ago and start assimilating the people that came here legally that want to assimilate and get rid of everybody else. Get them out of our country. And then fourth, demand legislation that makes it easier for us to defend ourselves, that makes it common sense that you want sheepdogs in every school, church, grocery store, wherever you go, that are trained. Train good guys and gals with guns. That's what stops the threat. And that can be a sheepdog with a ponytail. It's what I call the ladies that we train. It could be a sheepdog that's literally 22 years old, like what happened in Indiana, where that kid saved probably 50 lives that day by stopping the threat. Or it might be a 72-year-old like Jack Wilson at White Settlement at that church there, where he stopped the threat in 1.8 seconds. Anyway, those are the four steps. All right, so become a sheepdog. Stop calling Islam a religion. Call it a political ideology that destroys freedom. Join the call for significant reverse migration and then demand legislation that makes it easier for law-abiding citizens to carry their weapons and be sheepdogs everywhere they go. All right, let's jump into the phone calls. We got quite a few waiting, so we'll get to as many as we can today. Let's start, of course, in Texas. We got Dakota in Texas. You're up first, and my software just crashed. So, guys, if you could give me Dakota, that'd be great. Dakota, go ahead. You're up first.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. So, what part of Texas are you in?
I'm in Dallas.
Dallas? I grew up in Wiley. How about you?
I grew up in the Colony, actually.
All right. Yeah, not far. Okay. Go ahead, yeah, man. So, comment, question, insult, whatever you got.
So I basically have I have qualms with sheepdogging tactics. So how does one actually determine a good guy from a bad guy in a situation where multiple people are sheepdogs? Say active shooter shows up, they have a gun, they pull out their gun, they start shooting in a crowd, and multiple people pull out guns as well. How do you know that those people aren't also about to start shooting people?
Yeah, great question, Dakota. It's actually something we train for, and there's some level of chaos that you can't prevent, and no doubt accidents happen. Interesting stat that my friend John Lott, a professor that has all the best research on this worldwide, crime prevention research. Anyway, he just came out with a study that shows you're actually five times more likely for a police officer to shoot an innocent bystander than for a sheepdog to do it. And that's per capita. That's not just that police officers are involved in more shootings. That's actually per, you know, breaking down the numbers. And so there's no perfect answer to your question. In other words, there's no perfect way to prevent any of that. Innocent people get shot in, you know, mass murder events all the time. But it's more likely that the police officer is going to shoot the wrong person than the sheepdog based on the stats. So it's not a reason to disarm the sheepdogs. It is certainly a thing to train for. Both police officers should be training more in that situation. And I'll admit, man, I've been in hairy training scenarios where it was tough. It was like I had to literally, like, it's difficult. You got to figure out who the good guys and the bad guys are if you walk into the situation, especially, and you don't see the beginning of the situation unfold. So there's all kinds of different scenarios. But to answer your question, you train and you train and you train and you do the best you can in the situation. But it's way, 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 way better, 1,000 times better, to have the laws make it possible for those sheepdogs to be armed in those situations than for us to disarm them and everybody's a sitting duck and you end up with an El Paso Walmart situation where the dirtbag walks around for 15 minutes murdering people before the police finally are able to breach the store and get in there. It's way, way, way better than you know, those scenarios where there's no sheepdogs. I mean, even in Sutherland Springs, in that little church where 26 people were killed before the sheepdog could get in could get across the street and take down the dirtbag, you know, even in that situation, because just by perfect storm, unfortunately, none of the sheepdogs being in the church when the mass murder event happened, and my friend Stephen Williford having to come from outside the church, even in that scenario, you end up with a lot more loss of life than if there's somebody inside the church. The Jack Wilson scenario, the dirtbag was able to kill two people, one of those with a gun that wasn't trained and took too long to get his weapon out, before Jack Wilson was able to take him down, but he would have killed probably 10 people if Jack Wilson had not taken him down. And there were a lot of people in that church with firearms that, you know, nobody accidentally killed an innocent person. So in that scenario, it actually worked out that the sheepdog, you know, was able to do what he did with a headshot from, it was probably 25 yards and less than 2 seconds. So anyway, that's a really long answer to your question. Go ahead. You got any more questions?
Would you not agree, though, that the sheepdogging generally would create more chaos than stability in a situation where the law enforcement shows up and there are multiple people with guns?
No, I know
for a fact that in Australia, the situation was that somebody did pull a gun out and they were a sheepdog and they got shot by the police. They were shot. They were shot by the law enforcement that showed up. So they didn't actually create anything that helped the law enforcement. In fact, they actually were injured for sheepdogging.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's something that most people should be trying to do when they're not trained law enforcement. I know you're talking about training people to be sheepdogs, but ultimately, I mean, the best course of action here would be to have zero gun deaths, correct? In a situation like this, it would be to prevent the ability for someone to cause a mass shooting.
Of course. And so let me answer your first question, which is absolutely no. I completely disagree that it's better to have no sheepdogs there than to have sheepdogs there that are armed. So and I think every single mass murder scenario proves my point. Even in this case, and I haven't seen the video of a sheepdog taking out his weapon and being shot by the police. But again, shame on the police. I mean, but also I shouldn't say shame, because maybe they really didn't know. But those Australian police were so poorly trained, horribly trained, no different than the police in the Houston church, where they, you know, ran around muzzling each other and allowed the mass murderer to keep murdering people for, you know, 10 minutes, just ridiculous. And I'll just tell you, Dakota, our training at Patriot Academy is better than most police training. Our test at the end of our course is harder than almost every law enforcement exam in the country. So we're actually, I've had SWAT officers tell me that it's the best training they've ever had. And so I'm very big on the fact that you shouldn't carry your firearm or try to stop a scenario if you're not trained. I think you should have the legal and constitutional right to do so, to carry it, but I don't think you should unless you get training. It's not a good guy with a gun that stops a mass murder. It's a trained good guy with a gun that stops a mass murder. So to your point, of course we want zero deaths, but it's not gun violence that's the problem. It's murder that's the problem. Gun violence is what you do to the bad guy. I think me putting gun violence on the dirtbag after they've killed two people and before they kill 20 people is a good thing. So it's not, you know, gun violence can actually save lives if it's used correctly. So it's same thing with jiu-jitsu and stopping and detaining somebody that's trying to kill people on a train. That's why Daniel Penny was a hero and should never have had charges filed against him. He was actually helping people and saving people. So anyway, yeah, totally agree. Zero deaths is the best case. The second best case is one death, the dirtbag, and no innocent people. That's what happened in West Virginia right after the Uvalde thing, where a guy comes in and starts shooting up a party, and guess who stopped him? Not the police, because they would have been there in about 5, 10, 15 minutes after 30 people are dead, but a sheepdog with a ponytail takes her gun out of her purse, kills the bad guy, and so the headline is, dirtbag dead, no innocent people dead. That's the second best scenario. Best scenario is nobody dies. Second best scenario is only the dirtbag dies. Third best scenario is the death count of innocent people is really low, But because there was a sheepdog or police are actually there, like if there's a police officer in the church or in the room, that's great. If they can stop the scenario on the spot, that's fine. But you're not going to be able to do that unless you have a police state. If you want a police officer on every corner, you know, in every building, in every home, that's not the country I want to live in. I want the citizens to be armed. That's how, you know, America started. You used to have it where in most states, the citizens were required to have a firearm in their home, ready to go to war, ready to defend their neighborhood, ready to stop the threat. And I'm not necessarily for going back to that because there's, you know, we're just at this point where you don't need everybody to be required to do it. But anyway, I'm rambling. Go ahead, Dakota. I'll give you another shot at it before we go to another caller.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, I also own a firearm. I'm trained. I appreciate my right to own a firearm in this country. It's
good.
It's part of why I like living in the United States. However, I think when you have to pull a gun out as a sheepdog, the situation has already escalated. You've already gotten into a situation where there is an active shooter. It didn't prevent an active shooter. It's just responding to a situation with an active shooter. It's not a prevention method. There's no way to prevent an active shooter by being a sheepdog. If anything, it's possible that you could create more victims that way. I think the best way and the best course of action, of course, is to have better gun control laws.
But that's fantasy land. Name me a place where gun control
law. It's not fantasy land. It's policy. It's policy.
But it's never worked.
It's something that you just...
It's a pipe dream.
We've never done it.
We've never had
gun control laws that actually worked.
Name one place where it's actually worked.
Australia.
It worked last weekend? You kidding me?
Does Australia have mass shootings?
I mean, literally last weekend. So you got all these people murdered.
That's with no ability
to defend themselves, and you're defending the policy that disarms people. I don't even understand how that's logical. But by
Australia
the way, congratulations.
Has had one mass shooting in maybe like 8 years. Like I don't, you know, like how many do we have every day?
Tell me which one
is working better.
How many do we have every day?
You know, like. You tell me you're the one who's talking about sheepdogging. You know these things.
It depended on how you define mass shooting, which obviously gets manipulated depending on whether you're the FBI or some liberal reporter or a conservative reporter.
Right.
It doesn't happen as often as what you think it is. But every time it happens, the only way that you stop it and the only way that you save lives is by having sheepdogs in the room at that time. If you wait for the police officer... When you need them in seconds, they are minutes away. There is just no logical way. You're never going to get gun control that gets rid of all the guns. That's an impossibility. Doesn't happen. Australia just proved that. You're never going to be able to get criminals to obey the gun laws that you pass. They're never going to do that. By definition, they're going to ignore your sign that says no guns allowed here, and they're going to acquire the gun. So those things are pipe dreams. They're never going to happen. So the question is not... How do we keep evil, you know, from existing? Because we can't stop that. The question is, how do you stop it? And who decides what to do in the situation when the situation arises? And I will disagree with one other thing with you, that you don't have to wait. Actually, the presentation of a firearm does stop a lot of crime in America. In fact, guns are used 5 times as often to stop crime as they are used to commit crime. That's just statistically true. So for your gun control advocacy, every gun you take off the street statistically has stopped one crime and allowed 5 more to take place. So I would rather let the individual be able to decide, be able to have that weapon, get trained to use that weapon. And I invite you, Dakota, I'll pay for your training. If you want to come to Patriot Academy, I'll give you a 2-day class for free. You come see firsthand what we're doing here and how these citizens are able to defend their family, and you be able to do the same. Sounds like you've got the weapon. You said you're well-trained, so this might be, you know, remedial for you. But I think you'll find everybody that I've had actually go through the class, even the people that have written bad articles about us overall, have said, best training we ever had, and clearly they're making it possible for people to stop crime through the training that they're doing. So if you're interested in that, go to patriotacademy.com. Send an email to the main website there and remind them that you were a caller on my program. And I will personally pay for your training. You pay for your ammo, I'll pay for the training.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. Enjoyed having you.
All right, let's see.
You bet. Let's see. We got about 60 seconds left here. Let's see if we, I'm so sorry, man. We had so many calls today. And let me pick one of these. Oh, no, we're down to 30 seconds. Okay, never mind. Sorry. Everybody call in next week. We'll do it again. I think we got a lot of Christmas programming next week. I might have one more show before Christmas. But if not, have a fantastic Christmas. Have a fantastic weekend. Remember what we talked about today. Four steps. Four things that can not get rid of all this nonsense, because you're not going to get rid of evil this side of heaven, but we can reduce it. Become a sheepdog yourself. Get that training as soon as you possibly can. If not with us, go find somebody else, but get it done. Secondly, stop calling Islam a religion. Call it a political ideology that destroys freedom. Third, demand reverse migration. And fourth, demand laws that allow you to defend your family and enjoy the laws of nature and nature's God. Thanks for listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.